The assigned lectionary epistle lesson for this Sunday comes from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, from Philippians chapter 3. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. You've probably seen the bumper sticker that reads, Jesus, save me from your followers. Funny, yes. But the element of truth behind it is a harsh yet accurate critique of the Christianity lived out by far too many in this country. Notice that it's not judging whether someone is a Christian or not, but rather that certain attitudes and behaviors are not Christ-like. We had quite an enlivened discussion in our church school class this morning about it, but I'm going to go ahead with this anyway. Perhaps that's what Pope Francis was addressing when he stated earlier this week, quote, a person who thinks only about building walls, wherever they may be, and not building bridges is not Christian. This is not the gospel. Now I interpret that as the Pope's somewhat response to what would Jesus do or not do as it applies to the biblical command to love your neighbor, let alone love your enemies, and extend hospitality to strangers. In a similar vein, there is a quote that's often attributed to Mohandas Gandhi that declares, your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Now, in case we're tempted at this point to point a finger at someone else, remember when we do that, we're always pointing three other fingers back at ourselves. These relevant critiques in our day and age aren't addressing anything new. Evidently, the Apostle Paul had a similar critique about the Philippian Christians. In his letter to that community of faith which he founded, Paul writes, brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. Well, out of context, that sounds remarkably egotistical and conceited. But in context, that's really not the case. Paul was simply reminding him of his task as an apostle, that the example that he sets as a role model is based on his imitation of Christ. Jesus Christ is the archetype that made an imprint on Paul's life. And I suggest that it makes an imprint on your and my life as well. Paul's words, therefore, should be understood more as meaning, be co-imitators of Christ with me, not be imitators of me. Now, the same can be said today. When you or I see somebody living out the teachings of Jesus, it's a good thing that you and I join in imitating those actions. In fact, later in his letter, this letter to the Philippians, Paul instructs them, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, parents are especially aware, as their children grow up, that our behavior and the lifestyle we lead does indeed have a profound impact on others. Children especially are great imitators. And I know this from living in the fishbowl that's inhabited by pastors. And teachers, as well as parents and pastors and politicians and others, know the fishbowl all too well. In this season of Lent, with its emphasis on repentance and transformation, it is important that we remember all these things. And Paul goes on to say, "For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, their glory is in their shame, and their minds are set on earthly things." Now, it's important to know that for Paul, earthly referred not to the physical creation itself, but rather those things that are opposed to the ways of God. Now, there's a bit of debate among biblical scholars as to just who Paul may be referring to as enemies of the cross of Christ. And if I were leading a Bible study, I would certainly spend the time necessary to explore the historical context and this meaning in depth. But for the purpose of this sermon, however, let's just say that the enemies of the cross of Christ are those who do not follow the example of Jesus as modeled by Paul. And with the phrases, "their God is the belly," and "their minds are set on earthly things," Paul is simply describing to them the people who live life guided by indulgence and their own self-serving desires. And it's most likely that those who live according to legalism, who turn obedience to religious laws into an idol, something still common today. But in context, that would have been those who insisted on following all the Jewish food laws or insisting on circumcision. And it also refers to anyone not guided by the pattern of humility and self-sacrificial service to others. It refers to those who deny Christ not by their confession and their words, but deny Christ by their behavior. Wherever the gospel of Paul's gospel, rather, of freedom from the law was heard, it was also misheard. Some perhaps were too immature to see that the liberty that became license is really just a new kind of bondage. So in contrast to Paul's criticism of those whose minds are set on earthly things, those things opposed to the ways of God, he reminds the Philippian Christians and us as well that our citizenship, our commonwealth, our home is in heaven. Now this phrase would have been especially meaningful in the ancient city of Philippi, which is located in what is now the northeastern section of Greece, because it had a very high patriotism level because it was a Roman colony. So we as Christians, as Paul says, are not a colony of Rome, but rather a colony of heaven. And as a commonwealth, it also serves to remind us that the kind of living to which we are called is not a solitary journey, but is necessarily lived out in community. And Paul's point is that if our citizenship, our ultimate allegiance, is to be heavenly minded, then we are to be governed by the gospel, by the ways and teachings of Jesus. But that leads to a very interesting dilemma. What happens when the ways of our city, our state, our nation, and just our national government run contrary to what we believe are the ways of Jesus? What is our ultimate allegiance then? Is it not our directive as Christians to challenge and to speak truth to power, to seek reform and transformation within the system itself? Now, I find it both ironic and sad that Christians on the far right and the far left politically often have such different understandings of what it means to be heavenly minded, i.e., Christ-like. Now, there's nothing like a presidential campaign to shine a glaring spotlight on those differences. Yes, one's theological perspective can and does inform one's political perspective, and vice versa. So let's not kid ourselves. And in essence, Paul is also saying that as Christians, with our citizenship in heaven, we find ourselves then, when you think about it, living in a foreign land. With this perspective, I guess that makes us refugees, resident aliens, as Christians in our own land. Maybe that should be part of the discussion in how we approach the current issue of refugees seeking asylum in this country. And as citizens of heaven, living in this world, Paul also reveals then that it is heaven that is brought to earth, rather than our being brought to heaven. Now that's a profound thought. That makes sense, of course, when we acknowledge that the sacred presence, which we call God, is indeed among and within all of creation. So, of course, heaven is here on earth. Teresa of Avila, a prominent Spanish Roman Catholic saint and Carmelite nun who lived during the era of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century, expresses our task this way. Christ has no body but yours on earth. Yours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion is to look out to the world. Yours are the feet which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless us now. So here's a Lenten reflection to ponder this week. Do other people look at you and me and think, in that person I can see something of what it means to be like Christ? During the season of Lent, and always for that matter, we are being challenged to imitate Christ-like behavior. And that's quite a responsibility and an obligation. And in Paul's day, Roman emperors had the official title of Savior. Paul was teaching the Philippians and us today that our allegiance to any nationalistic power of this world is not our Savior. Rather, salvation in this life is found in our allegiance, our loyalty, faithfulness, and commitment to Christ, to following the ways of Jesus' teachings and the way of being in this world. So it is indeed all about imitation and transformation. For that's the very purpose of living a life of faith, to allow ourselves to be transformed in our thinking and in our actions by the sacred presence of God that is within us and among us. Imitate and be transformed.